Well, we started a new series last week called How Faith Comes. How Faith Comes. And, you know, we've covered some of these things before, but like we said last week, you know, when you go over certain things, it becomes more and more clear. You have light. Hopefully, the way it's supposed to work is as you walk with God, we're supposed to get further. We're supposed to get more light. We're supposed to be further today than we were a year ago. We should not be coasting. Life is not supposed to be boring. Life is not supposed to be the same old, same old. We're supposed to go on with Him. How many of you know God is not boring? And He doesn't run out of stuff. If we were to put a percentage on it, how much do you think our knowledge is compared to the knowledge of God? How much of His knowledge do we have, percentage-wise? I don't even think it registers. You know, if you show the 0 to 100%, it's like, well, show me how much you know. Okay? Put it on there. I did. Because God's infinite. So I don't care how much you know, He's infinite. How much does He know? Infinity just keeps on going. So if it keeps on going, let's say it kept on going, you know, for 1,000 miles, how big does this look when, you know, you're in space and you look at 1,000 miles and, you know, if you look at a yard, again, then you can't see it, right? Well, God is infinite. So what we know compared to Him, whatever you know, the Bible says if you think you know, if you think you really know something, you don't know as you ought to know. You think, well, I know this. Well, no, you don't. If you think you've arrived, then you don't know God. And we're supposed to keep growing. So when we come back to the Word, how many of you know you can read the same verse and get something new every time? How is that? Because God's infinite. Because God is big. So as we go through, we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to walk with Him. We're supposed to get more light. We're supposed to be further this year than we were last year. We're supposed to see more clearly. The Bible says we see as through a glass darkly, it says in the New King or the King James. But that doesn't mean we can't see anything. It doesn't mean we're supposed to be bumbling around like we're in the dark. We're supposed to see light. It's just that there's always more. But we are supposed to see more clearly today than we did last year. You ought to be further in certain things and not going around the same part of the mountain that you were last year. You know, my pastor in Lincoln, he used to say, you know, you deal with certain issues in life, you know, and it's like you're going around the mountain. You know, if you see a mountain and it gets smaller as it goes up, well, you know, you go around the mountain, it's just like you go and you deal with this issue and you go around and you come back and you're dealing with this issue again. But you go around and you come back and you're dealing with this issue again. But guess what's happening? It's getting smaller. Your path is getting smaller and you're getting further. You may deal with something. It doesn't mean you're supposed to just deal with something over and over. I'm not telling you should just, oh, I'm just going to have to. No, but, you know, this is the truth of life. Not all your problems go away the next day you hear about the Word. You know, we could stand up here and say it's all like, but it's not. My wife is rarely in here, but she knows that it's not that way with me. If I were to say certain things, you know, that I have a witness. There's certain things that I deal with that I'm getting further. But thank God I can look back and say I'm further this year than I was last year. There's certain things, you know, that I'm getting clearly. I'm seeing that I can't really relate to the way I thought 15 years ago. Now I know where I was and I know how I got there, but I look and go, wow, you thought that way. And I can't really relate to it as much anymore because I see further. Well, we're supposed to be growing, right? Yes. It's supposed to be exciting. We're supposed to be further today than we were yesterday. Growing. So when we hear something that maybe we heard before, don't go. Don't ever dismiss and go, well, I heard that. You're closing yourself off to new revelation. So some of these things, you know, we're going to hit from time to time. And you know what? We should be hitting it, but going further in it and getting deeper. And your perspective's different. because you've had more of life, and then you come out and you go, oh, I see that differently than I did before. So this is one of those things. You guys, you know, if you've been in this church for a while, I turn to Romans 10, especially on Wednesdays. I've turned there a lot, but there's just so much there, and there's some basic truths in a lot of different areas, especially with faith, that we've dealt with. Romans 10:10 around there, and this is another one, Romans 10:17. So I want you to turn over to Romans 10:17. We're going to be talking about how faith comes. Also turn to Hebrews 11:6. And we'll start there. We'll see how far we get. I do want to get through some of these things further than we did last week. We just kind of really just got stuck in Hebrews last time. But Romans 10:17 and Hebrews 11:6. Everybody there? Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We even spent some time on this on Sunday in our other series, talking about being doers of the word on Sunday. But we went through some of these same verses leading up to verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You go back to verse 9 and 10, it tells you that you confess the Lord Jesus, that's how you're saved. Verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, you know, how shall they call that they've not believed? How shall they believe if they haven't heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And then it goes on to say, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's it saying is that faith comes to you by hearing the word of God, the word of Christ in this instance, what the Bible says about being born again. That's how faith comes. It doesn't come by praying. Do you know you can't pray for more faith? God, give me more faith. That's an unscriptural prayer. That's a prayer in unbelief. Nowhere in the Bible do you see that it says to pray for faith. It does not come that way. It comes by hearing the word. Verse 17, so faith comes by what? By praying. By begging. By shouting. By asking 100 of your friends to pray for you that you just have faith to make it through. Huh? Doesn't say that. That's an unscriptural prayer. You can get 1 million people to pray for you to have faith, and you know what? Not going to help you one bit. You know how faith comes? Right here. Faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. That means you have to hear the word of God. When we're talking about faith, Bible faith, that comes by hearing the word of God. Now, faith comes in, natural faith comes this way. You know, you hear something about what somebody said or did, or you can choose to put faith in them. But we're talking about Bible faith. It comes by hearing the word. It doesn't just come by you trying hard. See, some people are trying to work up faith. It doesn't come that way. Faith comes by trying real hard to believe God. That's just a mishmash of terms. See, faith comes by hearing. You choose then to act on the faith you have. How do we get born again? Somebody told you about salvation. You had a choice. See, faith is there, but you have a choice whether you'll act on it or not. You don't have to feel like Jesus is the Savior of the world to be born again. It had nothing to do with your feelings. Faith will be there. Then we have a choice to act, which is a little bit further. We're not going to cover that tonight. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I told you to turn over to Hebrews 11. Let's go on. We may hit Hebrews 11 later, but you know, actually, I'm going to have you turn over to Acts. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we read about Cornelius there. And Peter. So let's go. Let's just go to the beginning of Acts 10. You're talking about how faith comes. Now, we read in Romans, faith comes by hearing. It says in verse 14, how is somebody going to believe if they haven't heard? Or how are they going to call if they haven't? How are they going to call if they haven't believed? How are they going to believe if they have not heard? So here we have an example of that in the Word. If you go to Acts 10, verse 1, let's just start reading there. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your praying and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when they had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. Now go back to verse 3. It says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. So there's an angel there. Okay, in a vision, he sees an angel of God. Verse 4, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said to him, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Notice the angel did not tell him how to get saved. You know why? Because God told us, Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's our job. Why didn't the angel just preach to him? Because it's given to men to preach. Cornelius, and we're going to see this, he had to hear the word. He had to hear something. And it had to come, in this case, it had to come through men. We see in Mark 16, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So now if you go to, let's skip down. You know, so then if you know in verse 9 in there, Peter sees a vision. And God basically has to tell him, go with these men that are going to come, the people from Cornelius. When you see them, go with them. Don't worry about it. See, Cornelius is a Gentile, and up till that point, the early church didn't know that the salvation was for Gentiles. This is where that changed. They thought it was just to the Jews. And so Peter goes, sees a vision, and he goes with the men. And so he comes into Cornelius' household. So let's see, let's go down to verse 24. So the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Notice the reverence for God that Cornelius has. You know, you start out saying the angel appeared to him and said, your prayers and your alms have come up before God. Do you know? This is an example. People say things like, well, you know, what about the people in the middle of Africa? I mean, what if Jesus, how are they going to find out about Jesus? If somebody has a heart open for God, God will send somebody to them so that they hear the gospel so they can get saved. I've heard accounts of it. This is a Bible account of it right here. This is what happens. Cornelius hadn't heard about Jesus, but he did because he feared God. And what he knew of God, he reverenced. And you know, when you reverence God and you honor what you do know of him, he'll give you more. So there are people, the Bible says in Romans, at the beginning of the chapter, that God, just by creation, it's clear there's a God. People say, well, God should prove himself. If he did any more to prove that he was true, he'd have to reveal himself, because you have to have somebody to help you to believe that there is not a God. To believe that you just look at another human being in the symmetry that's in them, and you can tell me that just happened because there was enough time that passed that all the mutations just put these eyes just so. Why did they have to be like that? Really, you could still have seen this way. You're saying all the other people died out, and the ones that were perfectly straight here survived. But not only that, then the ones that had the ears right were right. And then the ones that had the symmetry with your arms. I mean, really? And all that, they just kept dying out. Number one, God is not death. There was no death into the world until sin came. So this idea that stuff just died and somehow evolution would be godly, you don't know God. If somebody says that, you don't know the character of God. God does not use death to serve his purposes. That's a lie. I'm telling you, that's a lie. Biblically, it's made up. But it doesn't make sense to the human mind. What does make sense is I look at a human being, I look at a baby, I look at all this beauty, even in its fallen state, look at the world, and you say, this God, somebody created this. That's right. Somebody did this. You have to learn to accept these other things. You have to have help to accept them because they don't make sense just logically, just intuitively. But if you know, if somebody will acknowledge what is known about God and say, God, there is a God. See, Jesus isn't revealed in the creation. But if people will reverence God as God, look and cry out to the living God, God will send somebody. He is just. So they will hear the gospel, and they have to hear the gospel through men. They have to hear something. Here, we're seeing this example of this, but I just want to give you, there's another account. And I've heard many accounts of this along this line. People in just the middle of nowhere. I'm thinking of one now where it was years before this missionary got there, but he came around, coming around the bend and preached. And this guy said, oh, what took you so long to get here? He saw him coming, and he had seen in a vision this guy coming, and he saw him, and the guy preached to him, and they got born again. Andrew Womack tells a story. He was doing this one man would pay him, would pay his people. He was in a business, and he would have them on the clock and have Andrew Womack come and speak to them. And there was this one lady that I think she was at the front desk or something, and he was talking about what she did, and she said, what do you do? He said, I preach the gospel. I'm a minister of the gospel. And she just lit up, and she said, really? You can tell me about that. She goes, I saw. She had a experience the night before where she was crying out to God. She wanted to know more about God, but she was from some other type of background, you know, Hindu, Buddhist, something else. And she was like, God, there's more to you. I want to know you. And there was a light, like, came down like a globe or something, light in front of her. She saw it and spoke to her and said, there's a man coming tomorrow to your place of work. He will tell you what you need to know. And she came, and he preached to her, and she got born again. No, and she didn't know. She didn't know the gospel. See, that question is ignorance. It's a debate question. Don't debate people. The Bible does not say to go into all the world and debate. It says to go into all the world and preach. That means to declare. Say what God says. Let Him deal with it. People want to argue and debate. You're not going to come to faith by your mind, because you're going to eventually step out and have to believe, and believing is of the heart. It's not of the head. You can't convince people logically that God sent Jesus to die for the sin of the whole world through a virgin. It doesn't make any sense to your mind. But that doesn't mean it's not true. It just means your mind's limited. If you understood the way God understood, you would say that's perfectly logical, perfectly possible. But we don't know like He knows, so you're like, what? Well, you're going to have to step out. So somebody asks the question, well, what about those people in the middle of wherever? They're ignorant. I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm saying they're ignorant of what the Bible says and what's truth. Oh, God will take care of them. But you're not going to believe Him with what you can see. You won't get more. I said you won't get more. People won't get more. They need to act on what they do know now. And God has shown Himself. There is a God in heaven. He has created this earth. And if you call and say, God, there's got to be more. I want to know You. He will move. That's what happened here. Cornelius reverenced God. He saw that and he said, all right, somebody's coming to tell me what to do. I'm getting everybody I know and we're going to hear this. Right? That's what's happening. Verse 24. The following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. He is serious. He's ready to go. In this day and age, all you got to do is look around on a Sunday or Wednesday. People won't go across town to hear the gospel. You know, that's going to change. But it's individuals having a hunger for God and a reverence for Him and the things of God and reverencing His Word and reverencing His Spirit. You have an atmosphere like that, you'll see things happen. It's the atmosphere. I said it before, but I've heard accounts of this. People wonder, why do certain things happen in other countries that aren't happening in the U.S.? You know, you have a crusade of 50,000 people coming, and you'll have miracles. Why? Because 50,000 people are coming there in reverence to God, wanting to be where He is, and they've come from miles, maybe walked. They're reverencing Him. They come, and the atmosphere is charged with faith. God will move in and out. It's not that He doesn't want to move. Other ways, the people are pulling on Him. That faith is pulling on Him, giving Him access to do what He wants to do always. It's not that He doesn't want to do it in the U.S. It's that people are at home doing other stuff. They don't hunger after Him. But it's going to change. More and more. Because the things of the world don't satisfy. Okay, we live in the world, we need certain things, but if we try to draw our satisfaction from those things, we won't be happy. You won't be satisfied. We won't be living the type of life we're supposed to live. So verse 24, it says he called all his relatives, close friends together. Verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, he's sincere, but he's ignorant right here. He's reverencing God, but he falls down. I mean, he's got the right heart. He's just acting wrong. Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. So he's like, you're the man of God, and his heart's right. But you don't worship men. There's only one God. We don't worship men. We don't worship angels. Did you hear me? We don't worship any other person or relative of Jesus. You don't worship Mary. Thank God for Mary. Thank God Mary was a good woman. But she is not God. And we don't worship her. And if she were here, she would tell you that. Those are things of men that have been created. And it's a lot of mixture. Understand, there's a lot of stuff that happened We know when Christianity became the official religion in Rome, well, that was good, but it was also, well, we're just going to throw everything together here, and so a lot of junk got in there. That's why we got to look at the Bible. Show me in the Bible where it tells you to worship Mary. Problem is, people don't just take the Bible, they add a bunch of other stuff and try to make that equal with Scripture, and that's the problem. That's why we have the Bible. But you don't worship a person. You worship God. Verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, as I came without objection as soon as I was sent, for I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. He's waiting. He's saying, we're ready. Tell us what God has shown you. Notice the angel did not preach to him. Peter's about to. Now, we're talking about how faith comes. See, at this point, he doesn't know what he's going to hear. He doesn't know about Jesus. Right? Evidently. But Peter's about to say something, which means Cornelius and all these people are about to hear something. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. See, he just preached the gospel. He said, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as who came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they got born again listening to Peter. And they got filled with the Spirit. You know, it doesn't have to be. You have to be born again before you're filled with the Spirit, but it doesn't have to be a long time. They were born again, they believed, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they started speaking with tongues. Right there. And the people with them are astonished. They're like, what? The Gentiles are speaking with tongues. God has poured out the same gift that he poured out on us on the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, and he said, well, why don't we baptize them? But how did they get faith to be born again? They heard the word. This is how faith comes. This is how faith comes in every area. You have to hear the word for what the word on that area. then faith comes. Then you have a choice to act on the word. It's the same with healing. It's the same with God's will for prosperity. It's the same with marriage. It's the same with children. It's the same with how you're supposed to work on the job. Any area. See, do you realize you can have faith then in one area and have next to no faith in another area? Did you know it? It's not like I'm strong in faith. People say, well, I'm strong in faith. Well, you may have faith, strong faith in God, but have absolutely zero faith for healing. You may have zero faith for divine healing, I'm talking about. You could have faith for divine healing and have no faith whatsoever that God will meet your needs. In fact, you could have strong faith for healing and yet believe that, you know, you just have to barely get by financially. Until you hear the word, what God's word says about that, then light will come, faith will come, but now you have a chance to act on it. But faith comes, you can't pray for, well, God, just reveal your will on, you know, give me faith for prosperity. You can't pray that. That's unscriptural. You can ask for wisdom and direction. That's scriptural. But how is faith going to come in an area? It's going to come by hearing the word. That's why we need to hear the word in different areas. You need to hear the word, and your faith will increase in that area. That's how you become strong in an area. You got to hear the word, and then you have to act on it. You're going to have faith, but then you got to exercise your faith. You got to get strong in that area. But faith comes by hearing. Amen.